Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay. Little Genuine Pony in the 11 o'clock hour as we proceed. Club going up on a Tuesday. KM in the AM. Keith McPherson filling in for BT and Sal. Shout out to BT and Sal. My guy Mark Malusis will sit in this chair during this time slot the next 2 days. So let me take the next couple hours to maximize my opportunity here. Connect with you guys online on Twitch as well as over the phones. Twitch.com or twitch.tv/WFAN. 888-808-1019. We've got a good amount of people online and a good amount of people on the phones. We've been talking about the New York Yankees. How could we not lead with the Yankees after that performance last night?
It was against the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, so what? I saw them lose 12-2 first game against the Chicago White Sox, who are on pace to be worse than the 62 Mets. Anybody can beat anybody in baseball any night. There's 162 games. That's why yesterday I was coming on saying, we diehard fans, we just love to die hard every night. 162 one-game seasons. You're not like that if you lose week one in the NFL, but you lose one game in baseball and it's all over. Worst loss of the season. I'm not going to be a fan anymore. I can't stand this team. I hate this player. Everybody relax. Let's just sit back and watch a game. And when you sit back and watch a game like that with the New York Yankees, it makes you really start to feel like, okay, they're rounding into shape. You can't be a champion because you say you want to be champions. You also can't win the championship in late August into September. But you can create the right habits and you can do the small things. Manufacturing runs, situational hitting, playing good defense behind your starting pitcher, battling, changing up your pitch mix, changing up the eye level, you know, competing against every different batter like it's the most important batter you face. Must have been the shoes. I saw Nestor Cortez was wearing custom Gucci cleats on the mound last night. Nestor's got the swag like that. I'm starting to look at Nestor and say, okay, maybe he takes the ball in the postseason. We got to figure that out. Obviously, it's Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole will be on the mound tonight facing off against Corbin Carroll. Not Corbin Carroll. What am I saying? I was reading an article, though, and we'll get to that later. Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic with Corbin Carroll. As you know, later on, we'll talk about the Mets going into that series. Patrick Corbin. If you remember, the Yankees did have Patrick Corbin at the stadium. I think they did their whole wine and dine and courting of him. They put his name up on the big screen. He's a guy I think that the Yankees were considering. He was born in New York. I mean, he has had a rough go at it this season. So I expect Gerrit Cole to go out there and absolutely shove. And I expect the heavy hitters like Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Stanton to get going. I'm not a gambling man anymore. Maybe I am. If I had to bet, what I've seen from guys like Juan Soto is if they have a night where they struggle, Juan Soto shows up to the ballpark the next day. He puts in the extra time. He doesn't let it be back-to-back games where he doesn't get some. Aaron Judge is another one that's on a prolific pace. He's going to try and put one out tonight. They're still pitching to him. We're all still asking, why are they still challenging Aaron Judge? Well, you didn't get anything last night. Well, you did. He just didn't drive in any runs. And he didn't hit the ball out of the ballpark. So we look at Aaron Judge like, oh, man, you know, one single, one walk. I would bet on him to do something. We'll see what the lineup is going into the matchup tonight. Against another left-handed pitcher in Pat Corbin, not Corbin Carroll. But, yes, you should read the Ken Rosenthal article on the Diamondbacks and this run they're on, powered by Corbin Carroll, another guy that played on Team USA with Anthony Volpe. Let's run the clip of Jorge Posada talking about him watching games and what he sees in this team and what they need. And I think all the Yankees players either heard this or got wind of this. And I think you saw that in the last two wins. Run that.
What would you like to see this current Yankee team take from you guys?
Just a little attitude, you know. It takes a lot of, you know, guts and takes a lot of, you know, wanting, and I think they can do that. Just a little bit more of let's want to, you know, to be successful. I think they I see this group a little bit more tight than before. I watch a lot of games, mm-hmm. and I feel like this team is a little bit more tight than they were, you know, before. Like, you know, in the dugout, it seems like they're bonding, you know, pretty good this year.
There you go. Jorge Posada was a general out there behind the plate, at the plate, right next to the captain, Aaron Judge. And he said he watches the team, and he just called it out simple and plain. And I think that the guys have responded to that. Let's go to Queens and talk to Charlie on the fan. What do you got for us, Charlie?
Hey, how you doing? KM in the going to PM? That's amazing.
Yeah, we're like 50 minutes away from KM in the PM.
Beautiful thing. About the Yankees, they were successful under the Posada and all of that with little ball. And I hope the Yankees learn from that and just say, all right, we have the bats, but maybe a little ball will help us too.
Oh, yeah, small ball. I mean, you saw a little bit of that last night, right? I mean, we had the Bronx Bombers, but they weren't the heavy hitters. It was Gleyber Torres, Austin Wells, and Jazz Chisholm. But Anthony Volpe, couple knocks, getting on, stealing a base, or three hits, getting on, stealing a base, and then DJ LeMahieu with the sack fly. I'll take a sack fly, tack on a run twice. Verdugo, another guy. He's not hitting for power, but he's gotten out of his funk a little bit. He's hitting the ball and finding holes in the infield, dropping the ball in the outfield. We'll take that every time.
Also, it's good to see them loosening up a little, and hopefully they do take what you just said about Posada. Understand, you're the baddest team in the league. Now act like it.
Yeah.
Be the bad boys.
In a year where we're saying there's no dominant team, there's no clear-cut favorite, why not start to look like that? Why not start looking like you're the clear-cut favorite, you're the dominant team this last month of the regular season? I think that's what they're on. I think that's what they're trying to be.
And I'm also going to go to New York Giants real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a realistic Giants fan. Not winning them, oh, we're going to do this or we're not going to do this. I think between 7 and 3 wins.
Because
the quarterback, I've never seen him like throw long and all that. I mean, I've seen him throw a couple of darts, but he's not a consistent long ball, more than 20-yard passer.
Yeah, and he's going to need to be in this offense with those weapons. Thanks for the call, Charlie. They're cutting wide receivers. I was just having a conversation during the break with Hoff about, you know, how many guys are they going to carry at the skill positions? At running back, at wide receiver? They're cutting guys today. And yeah, some of these guys will be around. Yeah, some of these guys will be on the practice squad. But they're just not, they're looking like they're not going to carry a bunch of receivers, a bunch of running backs. And they shouldn't. You should carry the guys that are in the trenches, the guys that are getting into fist fights every play. And those are the offensive and defensive linemen. 888-808-1019 as we start to bring in some more of the NFL conversation this hour around the Jets and around the Giants. Isaiah Hodgins, wide receiver who, you know, had a moment in the Minnesota playoff game that they won 2 years ago. I mean, he was a revelation. He was a guy that they were able to pluck from the Bills practice squad and put him on that Giants team and make an impact. I mean, he had to compete with Kenny Golladay, Richie James, and David Sills. Wasn't really that hard for him to come in and join Darius Slayton. He had a decent rapport, it looked like, with Daniel Jones. And he's a big body, big type of receiver on the outside. I think they look at Malik Nabers and Slayton as guys that they have on the outside. Even Hyatt, a guy that's going to go outside, go deep. They have younger, talented receivers now that they drafted. This is just the evolution of a rebuild. This is the evolution of a GM and a head coach getting their own guys in there, young guys in there, and not having room for everybody. Everybody can't make the 53-man roster. Some of these guys will end up elsewhere, but for the most part, like what I'm seeing is they're not going to be able to keep all of these running backs and receivers. They just need the couple guys that they have to be effective. And, you know, one of the most effective guys, a guy that I think is going to be the most effective receiver in New Jersey, in East Rutherford, in New York, more so than Malik Nabers, is Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson this year has a chance to really make himself a lot of money. Look at this. The Eagles are releasing wide receiver John Ross. We're familiar with John Ross, former Giant. I mean, this guy was a top pick. And you know what? He bounced around on a couple teams, and I feel bad. The picture that they're using for him on Twitter, I remember him talking about how much it meant for his son to see him play, and that was the motivation for him to try and get back into the league. And it's tough. The NFL stands for not for long. Not for long, because every year there's more talent coming in from college, and these guys are young, they're fast, they're strong. The Patriots have released quarterback Bailey Zappe. Bailey Zappe, he beat out Mac Jones. He was their guy last year. But I guess now when you have Jacoby Brissett and you drafted Drake May, those are your two guys. So, yeah, cuts are happening today. It is hard knocks in the NFL. It is that time. But, yeah, back to what I was saying about Garrett Wilson. Do you guys see Aaron Rodgers at the Mike Studd concert? I think Mike Studd just goes by Mike now.
I think it's just Mike.
Just Mike now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he goes by just Mike now. Like, that's the and that's the sentence. That's why he probably uses just Mike.
Well, he was there. Aaron Rodgers was there with Marcus Stroman too.
And Marcus Stroman was there, and so we saw just Mike or Mike or whatever he goes by. Mike Studd. When he came up, he was Mike Studd 10 years ago, coming out of Duke. Great story. Former Duke pitcher. Him and Stroman were college friends, and now he's a rapper. And he doesn't really have too many hits that you know, but he's got hits. He's got hits that people stream. And when you look at wherever this concert was, somewhere in Brooklyn, I guess, it was deep out there. And he had Marcus Stroman show up and Aaron Rodgers show up. And I noticed Aaron Rodgers was wearing a Yankee hat. I don't even think Marcus Stroman was wearing a Yankee hat, which I guess if you're a New York Yankee, you don't want to be wearing the Yankee hat. But he picked the right hat. I think Aaron Rodgers is ready to light it up. I think Garrett Wilson is ready to light it up. And I say that to say this, the price is going up. So as we talk about Hassan Reddick and his contract, funny enough, Hassan Reddick has the same agent as CeeDee Lamb, and they just worked out the numbers for CeeDee Lamb to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. They just worked out the numbers for CeeDee Lamb to be just under Justin Jefferson with his contract in the NFL. Well, they better get ready for the Jets, better get ready to pay Garrett Wilson. I don't think they're going to pay Hassan Reddick. We'll see how this all works out. Hassan Reddick has cost himself a lot of money. Zach Rosenblatt, who I usually bring on from The Athletic that covers the Jets, he put out a video of Hassan Reddick working out. No word yet on if, when he'll report to the Jets. But Hassan Reddick, I think maybe he's somewhere in South Jersey, maybe Camden, maybe he's at Temple. It's him running just hoo, 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 ha, hitting bags. You know, I guess that's cool and all, but we need to get you in camp, man. And why wouldn't you want to play with this Jets team that on paper has one of the best rosters in the NFL? Why wouldn't you want to play with Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Mike Williams? Why wouldn't you want to play really more so with Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, CJ Mosley, Jermaine Johnson, the guys on that defense? 888-808-1019. Still taking calls on the Yankees, though. Let's go back to the phone. If you want to talk football, we can do that as well. Vinny in Lindenhurst on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you? Good afternoon, is it? So
A little bit before the afternoon.
I didn't hear it mentioned with Jerry this morning. I Googled it. Didn't see anything. Aaron Judge hits a thousandth hit there. And they show the replay running around to first in slow motion. And he seems like he's hobbling. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, you know. Then at the end of the game, when the outfielders do their three-way, you know, after the win, their three-way jump,
yeah,
you know, into each other. Before they do it, Aaron Judge gives a little hand signal, like, pump the brakes, let's not make this a big jump. And they make it a small jump, and he continues to run in. I wouldn't be surprised tonight if you see him maybe DH-ing, maybe not in the outfield, maybe he even sits. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Have you seen anything like that? You were watching the replay.
Yeah, I was watching the game. I didn't catch that. I think some people were questioning, and I think I listened to the morning show guys talk about whether he was hustling out of the box, you know, whether he grimaced at all, and I didn't catch the end of the game, him saying, hey,
might be breaking news, Keith. You might have heard it here. First on your program.
Vinny, first to call it. Thanks for the call. Vinny is the first to say Aaron Judge might be hurt, and I'll be the first to say, no, he's fine. He's fine. It's a long game. You know, maybe he was a little banged up. Verdugo is hurt. Verdugo ran into the wall. Volpe took a shin to the head, sliding into second base. I can't recall Judge getting, you know, maybe he felt the impact of the wall, but he celebrated and acted like he was fine. And Judge is going to play. He's the captain of the team, leader of the team. He's going to play. Left-handed pitcher on the mound, a guy that I think they can get after. I expect Stanton to play. I don't need to see Trent Grisham. I'm good. I don't need to see Judge DH and Trent Grisham play. Take the series, and then maybe we see something like that in the third game. 888-808-1019. So yesterday I was talking about the rule change that didn't actually happen where, you know, last year I was talking about how the season was the year of not just the backup quarterback, but the backup's backup. We saw third string quarterbacks playing. And if you don't have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. The saying is, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But really, in the NFL, you need two. They added a week to the season. It's a long season. You saw the Jets lose their season as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down. You saw the Giants, right? The Giants have Tommy Cutlets emerge after Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor went down. And you saw the Jets go from Zach Wilson to Timmy Boyle. We were having conversations about Timmy Boyle. So what I'm saying is, you know, that rule didn't happen where now teams are making cuts and they're going to be able to carry two quarterbacks, and there isn't the rule where you can elevate this emergency quarterback where you can essentially like carry three. There is another rule, right? They were trying to find a new technology system for the first downs, which they're super late on. Like, by now, there's definitely technology for them to be more exact with spotting the ball. First downs, you know, measuring fourth and inches. Well, the NFL will continue to use the chain gang for the 2024 season. They will not be implementing the electronic measuring system. The league has had over $20 billion in revenue, but they still just keep it to the chain gang. You know, guys walking the chains out. I remember there being a chain gang when I played Pop Warner football some, I don't know, 30 years ago. 888-808-1019. Now we have some football involved in the conversation as cuts are happening. The Giants released wide receiver Allen Robinson. The Giants released wide receiver Isaiah Hodgins. I think Dante Miller was also released, running back. So they're not holding these skill position guys. They're holding their linemen, I believe. And we're going to talk definitely about the CeeDee Lamb contract, as I think that impacts Hassan Reddick as well as Garrett Wilson of the Jets. Judge is hurt. I didn't know he was hurt. I didn't think he was hurt, but Vinny might be on to something. Let me go back online and try and find anything that looks like Judge might be hurt. I mean, I've been talking the last few days about how no one's mentioning the toe. He's been healthy. Plenty to talk about with the Yankees, and we will get into some conversation around the Mets. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Cash Money Records taking over for the 99 in 2000. 2024, August 27th. Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal, taking your calls, talking sports. You guessed it. 888-808-1019. Let's continue to have a good morning and a good time on Twitch. It's a good time in the chat. Shout out to everybody in the chat. We'll come to you in a couple minutes. I've been doing these Twitch chat check-ins around the 45-minute mark of each hour. And me being somebody that's usually in the chat during BT and Sal, I know these guys are pumped. I know you guys are appreciating the shout out, and you guys have good thoughts and takes too. And honestly, I can get to your take faster than I can get to the callers, but let me reshuffle the deck a little bit here and we'll get back to the phone. So now everyone's calling about Judge, and before the break I said I was going to go look to see if I saw anything video wise from Judge, and yeah, it's something. There's definitely something there. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe he pulled up lame a little bit around first base. He didn't try to go to second and leg that out. Maybe the thought was, hey, we're up in the game, whatever. But the video that is really concerning is, like the caller just mentioned a few minutes back, at the end of the game when the outfielders go in to do their celebration, their bump, Judge kind of gives them like a, hey, like tone it down, like a push down, like, hey, not, no, no, don't jump. I can't jump. Like, let's keep it low. Let's keep it low on the ground. They come together, and this is about to come up again on Yankee Encore. I didn't see this last night. Once the game was over last night, I was in bed. But you can see that Judge is feeling it a little bit. I'll say this. He's probably hurt. He's probably banged up. He plays every day. He banged against the wall. He's running in center field. He's taking his swings. It's a long season. But there's a difference between being hurt and injured. Playing football growing up, I had a coach that would say, are you injured or are you hurt? There's a difference. If you're injured, you can't go. If you're hurt, suck it up. And I think Judge might be hurt, but I don't think he's injured. I think Judge is going to play tonight if he can, because he is the face of baseball. He is the captain of the New York Yankees. He is everything to this fan base, and we can't have any scares right now. Something I was saying yesterday, and I say at night a lot, is pray for health. The Yankees have been derailed every postseason by health, by somebody missing or someone coming back and not being right because they were hurt. Right now, we have a lot of guys coming back. Right now, there are arms coming back. Anthony Rizzo might come back. Jason Dominguez, Brian Hoke told you yesterday on the fan with me that Jason Dominguez will be here in September. And it might not be long for Verdugo. That's why Verdugo, talking about getting hurt, he's running into the wall, banging up his knee. He's fighting to stay in the game, have a three-hit game, because he understands, hey, if I go down, they've got a replacement waiting in the wings. 888-808-1019. We'll talk about Judge with the callers right now, but I did introduce some conversation around the New York Jets and the New York Giants. The conversation around the Jets is Hassan Reddick and him not reporting to camp. I saw Rich Cimini put out that this is day 35 of Hassan Reddick holdout, which ties Darryl Revis's holdout in 2010. He has accumulated $1.75 million in mandatory training camp fines. I mean, that's a lot of money to not practice. I go to practice. $1.75 million. I'm showing up. And his agent is the same agent who just got the CeeDee Lamb deal done, as CeeDee Lamb was holding out all of camp. So maybe there's a thought that, okay, he got CeeDee Lamb done. They're going to figure out something here with Hassan Reddick, but I don't think the Jets are going to blink. Rob Saleh's been pretty consistent on focusing on the guys that are there. But when I saw the CeeDee Lamb contract yesterday, and unfortunately as a child I decided to root for Jerry Jones and the Star, my reaction was finally, CeeDee Lamb just signed a massive four-year contract worth $136 million. He gets $100 million guaranteed, a record $38 million signing bonus, and Tory Dandy of CAA got that done, making CeeDee Lamb the second highest non-paid quarterback in NFL history next to Joey Bosa. 888-808-1019. What's Garrett Wilson going to make? And what are they going to do with the lineup? I'll say this about the Yankees, too. I mean, it's going to be some hours before the lineup comes out. We know the Yankees are super cautious. We know that the Yankees will go the cautious route first. But I think Aaron Judge is the type to talk him into letting him play tonight, as he is chasing, he won't say it, he is chasing his own record. And he is out there to prove that he's the MVP every night. If he's injured, he can't go. But I just think he's hurt and he's most likely going to go. Jay is in Oyster Bay on the fan. What's up, Jay?
KM, it's good to hear you during the daytime, man. So, listen, I think that I saw a little bit of what that other caller is saying, but again, I'm not saying he's hurt or whatever, but in the same inning that Verdugo makes the catch, he gets injured, then whatever, he gets banged up. Then I think Soto makes the second out, and I think Judge going makes the third out. I might be reversing the two, but he cuts up the wall. When he gets all the way back there, if you look, I guess it was maybe the seventh inning when that happened. That's at least where you can see on his face that something happened. But outside of that, man, this team is absolutely gelling and coming together. The family aspect of this and celebrating each other. I mean, I'm fired up. I'm not making anything more out of whatever that caller saw. And sometimes maybe he just doesn't want to celebrate in front of the fans too much. But I just wanted to sort of throw that out there because I definitely know what he's talking about.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Yeah, it was the fourth inning when Judge made that play, and he kind of just banged off the wall. And another thing about Judge, he's not a regular human being. I jokingly say he's a X-Men. I had someone on Twitter say he's the Juggernaut. You guys remember Juggernaut from the X-Men. I jokingly say he's not of this earth. He's an alien, or he's not human. He's a cyborg robot. But he is a massive dude. Like, you know, what hurts us as regular guys doesn't hurt Aaron Judge. I just think it's a 9-inning game. It's a long game. He's tired. He went out there. He played center field, running around. And, you know, there's going to be little bumps and bruises, little contusions. But I ultimately think Judge is going to play. I don't think he's hurt. I expect him in the lineup tonight. 888-808-1019. Same thing with Volpe. Same thing with Verdugo. That was more of the injury scare last night. Seeing Verdugo run into the wall, and like I said, I can't help it. Obviously, I'm not rooting for him to be hurt, but you immediately, when a guy gets hurt, you think, what is the next move? I'm like, if Verdugo can't go, and the way that Susan and Ricky were talking about it, I'm like, maybe they don't let him go. No, you have to fight the trainers. You have to fight to stay in the game. But my first thought was, Dominguez will be up here tomorrow. They're in Maryland. Like, Dominguez might be on his way tonight if Verdugo can't go, and then that expedites things. I mean, we only have a few more days here, 5 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days until September, until it's September 1st. I was reading a stat about Judge being the fastest player to 50 before September, which is just funny, you know, when you think about him going for 62 and the fact that he's at 51. Boone joked that he had his 52nd homer last night, robbing a homer, putting that one in his pocket. But, like, I also don't think Judge is going to sit down because he might want to be the fastest to 52 home runs, 53 home runs, 54 home runs. Who knows? They keep pitching to him. They keep pitching to him. Anything can happen. Shout out to the Twitch gang again. We'll go to you a little bit early here as we approach 11:40. There's just so many people in the chat, which is awesome. Like I said, I am one of the BT and Sal fans in the chat. Even when it was Tiki and Tierney, I was in the chat. Twitch is a platform that I think skews younger. It's a platform that originally people were going on to stream themselves playing video games, but now it has evolved into streamers being famous. Like, we talk about Fanatics Fest, and I appreciate the people, especially my guy Dre and some other people on Twitter that, you know, they said, you're being humble. You are one of those type of people. No, I'm not. Like, I'm blessed to be on WFAN 3 years. I just celebrated 3 years since my audition on Sunday. But I'm not of the level of David Ortiz, Jay-Z, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter. Like, those are the people that people are running after. People showed me love. But something I noticed, these streamers out there that stream on Twitch, like Aiden Ross, who's he? Kai Cenat, who's he? Sketch, Los Pollos TV. These guys sit in a room for 5 hours a day plus, and they just talk to the camera, and they do pranks and play music and do entertaining things on Twitch, and they are multimillionaires because they have subscribers to their channel. And I don't know how much it is to subscribe. I think it's like $5.99, but you do the math. It's $5.99 a month, and you have a million subscribers. Like, these kids are getting money just talking on Twitch. So I'm talking on Twitch. I see you guys in the Twitch chat. Everybody's saying, what's up, Keith? Now they're all talking about Kai Cenat. We're going to go to a break, but here's the chance for the Twitch people to throw in their questions, their thoughts, and their takes. And when we come back, I'll answer, and I'll bring them to the audience on air. Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
This is AC/DC, right? Yeah. I only really know this song because of the movie Varsity Blues. That's my favorite football movie of all time. I used to watch that movie every Friday before varsity football games. And there's a scene where they play this, and I remember hearing it as a kid and going on LimeWire and downloading it and being like, yo, this is a good song to burn onto a CD and play in our locker room. Yeah, those were the days 20 years ago. Keith McPherson on the Fan filling in for BT and Sal. I said I'm going to do these check-ins at around the 45-minute mark of every hour on Twitch. We got up to like 80-plus in the chat on Twitch. That's a lot. That's a good amount of people. People still holding. Dr. Stupid, who is a big Twitch user, who's actually from my area. He's always in the chat. I see he joined the party. Guitar Gear, Charlie D. My guy Dre in there. What's up, Dre? HNLX Dre in there. League Pass Larry. So let's pull some of the conversation from the Twitch chat. And then what we'll do is go back to the conversations we've been having. And that'll set up the 12 o'clock hour and the next 2 hours of the show until I wrap up at 2 p.m. 888-808-1019. It's wide open for calls as we check out what people are talking about on Twitch. So there was some conversation about the cuts with the Giants. It's just NFL cut day. There are going to be some names of players that you're going to find, and it might surprise you, it might not surprise you, but everybody can't make it. Like, here's a guy. The Commanders are releasing wide receiver Martavis Bryant. He tried to catch on with the Dallas Cowboys. And then, of course, the Commanders, who were taking, you know, former Dallas Cowboys over there with Dan Quinn, he tried to latch on with them. Did not happen. I mean, they just traded Jahan Dotson, so who knows what they're cooking up over there. Oh, online, I see the WFAN at WFAN660 on Twitter. Did Aaron Judge give Yankee fans a health scare after his incredible catch Monday night? Keith discusses with callers. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to think that. I still have issues from last year and what last year turned into with Judge. But anyway, back to the chat. Appreciate everybody in there. There's always love for Mike Francesa. There's like a Mike Francesa emoji that you can put in there. earlier, I was talking about the streamers, so they started talking about the streamers. I see New York Chris in Nashville says, shout out JMU Duke. Shout out to JMU Dukes. That's where I signed my letter of intent to play football out of high school. They're talking about killing Aaron Boone, but here we are. He's getting everything right. And hey, something that I say sometimes, and I know C-Mac says, we need C-Mac to get back on here for the Aaron Boone talk. Everybody wants to kill Aaron Boone when things don't go right, but like a game last night, he doesn't get any credit for the lineup. He doesn't get any credit for decision-making with, like, letting Nestor go and who to bring out of the bullpen, you know, having Austin Wells in there. They're responding. It is right in front of them, and they're taking advantage of it. Oh, something I wanted to plant a seed before we get to the 12 o'clock hour. We bring in the Mets conversation, speaking of the Mets and it being right in front of them. You guys see Francisco Lindor talking about the generational Juan Soto? Francisco Lindor had a talk with Jeff Passan about Juan Soto's upcoming free agency. He said, quote unquote, when it comes to the outfielder from across our borough, just stop right there. The outfielder from across our borough, across Queens, the Bronx, the different boroughs. He's having a fantastic year, and I hope he goes out there and breaks every record when it comes to getting paid. If it's with us, it'll be fantastic. He'll help us a lot. So Francisco Lindor, who has his money in the bank, knows that Steve Cohen can afford to run up that price. And he says, I hope he goes out there and breaks every record. Like, you're hoping he gets $701 million? Are you in a group chat with Steve Cohen who said, I don't care, I'll give him $701 million in December. He's coming to Queens, 888-808-1019. I'm going to pull some stuff during the break from the Ken Rosenthal article in The Athletic, as Ken Rosenthal just wrote a little piece on the Arizona Diamondbacks and I guess their resurgence. I mean, they were in the World Series last year, but the title of the article is with spark plug Corbin Carroll thriving again, surging Diamondbacks firing on all cylinders, and they're about to step right up and meet the Mets. And I said yesterday that the loss against the Padres was not the worst loss of the season. Who cares about the worst loss of the season? The worst loss of the season is the one that mathematically puts you out of it. But as baseball fans, we all know when it's getting late, and we all know when the math isn't mathing, and when you can't control your own destiny and other teams are just winning ahead of you at a clip where you can't catch them. If the Mets lose tonight, there's going to be a feeling of, okay, this is not in front of us anymore. It's floating away down the river. 888-808-1019. So it's on the table to continue talking about the Yankees' performance last night. I just felt like that was the quintessential game of, what if Judge, Soto, and Stanton don't hit? What are they going to do? The bottom of the order is going to hit. They're going to pitch well. They're going to play good defense. They're going to play small ball. They're going to throw runners out. They're going to make ridiculous plays in the outfield. They're going to find a way to win. TW have the will to win. Judge might be banged up, but I don't think he's injured. I just think that he's hurt. And a lot of these guys are hurt. Volpe's probably hurt from the collision he had at second base. Verdugo's definitely hurt with a contusion above his knee or on his knee running into the wall. But Posada called for them to have some attitude, some grit, some toughness, some want to, and guys are not willingly coming out of that lineup. I hope to see Austin Wells in the lineup. I hope to see Judge in the lineup. We will talk about Gerrit Cole and Patrick Corbin coming up. We'll talk about the Mets coming up, and of course, we'll talk about the cuts with the Giants and the Jets, Hassan Reddick's contract. Well, I mean, I don't think he's getting another contract, but it's just interesting that his agent just got paid off of CeeDee Lamb's contract, which is a historic contract. CeeDee Lamb held out all of camp. Hassan Reddick, your move. Where you at, buddy? Garrett Wilson is going to get paid, and if he goes out there and has the year that I think he's going to have with Aaron Rodgers, the Jets can't pay a guy like Hassan Reddick. They're going to need money for him. They're going to need money for Breece. They're going to need money for Sauce. In the chat on Twitch, Keith, do you buy Judge doesn't perform well in the playoffs rhetoric? It's nothing to buy or sell. He hasn't. He hasn't been the Aaron Judge that we've seen in the regular season in the playoffs. Now I'm going to bring in the conversation about the MVP. Right, the MVP trophy doesn't have anything to do with what you do in the postseason, what you do in October. In so many leagues, we say, oh, they don't factor in the playoffs. But I said this on air yesterday, and I'm going to lean into this more because I know what to say to get the Mets calls in there. If Bobby Witt Jr. can be in the conversation for MVP with Aaron Judge, why can't Francisco Lindor be in the conversation with Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani pulled a KD. Like, KD left a good team, or left and joined a good team that didn't need him. He, you know, KD jumped on the Warriors. How come nobody gives any slack to Ohtani for joining the Dodgers from a crosstown rival? They applaud him. They love him. You mean to tell me this guy didn't bet on baseball? He didn't have any knowledge of his right-hand man betting on baseball, so much so the first series of the year in Seoul, Korea, there, buddy-buddy laughing it up in the dugout, then the next day there's different words about, oh, he didn't know, oh, he helped his friend, oh, he had no knowledge. That just gets swept under the rug. I can't give that guy MVP, but they're going to give him MVP every single year because he hits and he pitches. Oh, wait, he's not pitching this year. So you mean to tell me that Francisco Lindor, who plays every single day, goes out there and hits from both sides of the plate, goes out there and plays shortstop, plays defense when Ohtani is just really a power-hitting DH that can run. He's not in the conversation with Ohtani. Ohtani's going to win the award, but we certainly can have the conversation about Francisco Lindor as National League MVP because he's more valuable to his team than Ohtani is.